I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polevsky. The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC. I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 and 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, it is my fiduciary responsibility to tell you that you still can. You can go to WBJC.com, takes a couple of minutes, and thank you. The English musical establishment lived in two places, academia and the church. Edward Elgar belonged to neither. Elgar was largely self-taught rather than conservatory trained and a Roman Catholic in a Protestant country. He was, in short, an outsider, a piano tuner's son from rural Worcester. Though he did not lack talent or ambition, at age 42, Elgar had little success to show for himself. He had written a series of choral pieces for British choral societies, but had been minimally compensated. The publication of his works either cost him money or paid him little. The composer had hoped to live in London and have his works performed there, but the one attempt at renting the Crystal Palace Concert Hall had not been well attended and was yet another financial setback. Elgar was forced to abandon London and return to rural Worcester to teach violin, something he despised. In 1884, he wrote to a friend, "My prospects are about as hopeless as ever. I am not wanting in energy, I think, so sometimes I conclude that 'tis want of ability. I have no money, not a cent." All of this changed with one fell swoop when Edward Elgar, until then a nobody, wrote the Enigma Variations in 1899. The title refers to the fact that Elgar never explained the nature of the variations or who they were written for. Here's the melancholy and frankly enigmatic theme. The ninth and most famous variation is entitled Nimrod and is dedicated to Elgar's friend Augustus J. Jaeger. The biblical Nimrod is described as a mighty hunter, and the name Jaeger means hunter in German. In 1901 saw the composition of the first of the Pomp and Circumstance Marches, which made Elgar a household name. It would also become a hymn entitled Land of Hope and Glory. The extraordinary oratorio, The Dream of Gerontius, came in 1904, continuing the great English tradition of masterpieces in the genre. In 1908, Elgar wrote what was then referred to as the greatest English symphony ever written. Elgar wrote little during the war, and like all Englishmen, was never the same afterwards. The incredible optimism of earlier works was replaced with wistful sadness. In 1919, while watching his beloved wife Alice die of cancer and literally disappear before his eyes, Elgar wrote his elegiac cello concerto. Thank you. Elgar died in 1934, and by that time, his music was considered to be passé. Fortunately, in our time, Elgar's music receives the incredible respect, love, and admiration it is due. One would think that Elgar, the true father of English concert music, would be buried at Westminster Abbey. While you may find a memorial at Westminster to Elgar, the composer, ever the outsider, is buried at St. Wolstan's Church, Little Malvern, in Worcester, next to his beloved Alice. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polewski, and if you'd like to contribute to WBJC's musical efforts, you can go to WBJC.com.